never read the Bible before, give you the opportunity this afternoon of receiving a copy of God's Word, extract from the Bible, offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. Bible is the Word of God, and it is the sole and only resource that you have given to you in order that you might know the way, the truth, and the life. That is the way back to God from sin's dark path, and the truth that would liberate you, set you free from the power of sin, the judgment of God, and of course the life, eternal life, in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible was given to us.
Can I just say that statement
is completely false? It's a damnable lie, sir.
I'm a Christian myself, I believe in God and all that, but evolution is a fact.
That's not compatible with the Bible, sir. It's a damnable lie, sir. It's always the one that gets them going. Evolution is a lie. It provokes them, you know, because this is the lie for which you've exchanged the truth, you know, the majority at least anyway. But of course the Bible was given to us, as I say, to lead us, to guide us, counsel us in the way of life and liberty and truth. And it's the truth and only the truth that will set you free. Evolution, as the sign declares, is a lie. It's not a theory. It's not scientific. There is no justification for it. Christian worldview is the only basis for intelligibility. Without God, you can't even have a meaningful thought. Never mind do science, logic, mathematics, chemistry, or anything else. The gentleman, he says the statement is false, but of course he's a coward. He runs away. He won't stand and talk. He won't defend his statement, but I'll defend mine. Okay, sir, carry on. Free country, free speech. We still have it in this country. Not many others, but we do have it here, still for a time yet anyway. But as I say, evolution's a lie. Why? Well, because it is. It is. You know, it's you can't do. People come, you know, with this argument. They say, "Well, science, you know, but science is only a conceptual tool. It doesn't produce anything. So where do you get science from? How can you do science? You need knowledge. You need information to do science. So where does the information, where does the knowledge come from to enable man to do science? You know, you say this is your, this is what you say happened. You say there was a bang, there was an explosion. Nobody knows how the explosion came about. No one knows where the chemicals came from that produced the explosion. But there was an explosion. Magically, there was an explosion. And it brought about a great big lump of matter. But here's the thing, friends. If you live in a material, natural universe, that's all that there is, well, you don't get knowledge. You don't get information out of matter. That's an impossibility. You don't get spontaneous life out of matter, out of sheer matter. You see, you can't do any of the things that you do without God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The treasures, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, the Bible tells us, are hidden in Jesus Christ. If God had not revealed knowledge to us, we would not be able to do any of the things that we do do. You wouldn't be able to do science in an evolutionary world, universe, according to your evolutionary, inverted commas, theory. You know, you live in a random universe. It's always changing, in a state of change. Well, if you live in a random universe, it's always changing. You know, just happenstance, you know, just what comes next, whatever. Well, you wouldn't be able to do science, would you? You know, you can only do science because you live in a stable universe. You live in a universe in which is embedded the laws of nature, the law of logic, law of mathematics, law of chemistry. Salt dissolved in water yesterday, it dissolved in water today. Will it dissolve in water tomorrow? Well, if you're an evolutionist, you've got no guarantee of that. You can't guarantee that at all. But of course it will. You know it will. I know it will. Why? Because there are laws embedded in the universe, in the world in which we live. The laws of nature, you call them. So where do you get laws from? Where do they come from? Science itself doesn't produce them. So where do they come from? You don't get laws and you don't get information, you don't get knowledge out of matter. So where do they come from? The God who created everything. Laws, information, knowledge comes from an intelligent mind. That mind, of course, is the mind of God, the one who in the beginning created all things. But then, of course, men go with the nonsense of evolution. They embrace the lie of evolution. Why? Well, because they don't want there to be a God, you know? Or they know that God is. They know that just the same as I do. You, all of you. God, he tells us in his word, in the revelation of his wrath, that is his holy displeasure against your suppression of the truth in unrighteousness, he says that he has made it plain to you. He says he has shown it to you. And he says that you even understand that God is. But you suppress the truth in unrighteousness, the truth that is of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness, because you don't want there to be a God. And so evolution, you see, you have to exchange it for something, you know. If you're going to, you know, if you're going to abandon any thought of God, if you're going to cancel God out, well, you're going to substitute him for something else. And this is what you substitute him with. You exchange the truth for a lie, and you exchange God for this utter nonsense, this rubbish, this myth called evolution. It's a lie from the very pit of hell. Given to you, handed to you on a plate to enable you with the gifts that God has given to you to suppress the truth of the knowledge of God further in your wickedness and in your unrighteousness. But then the Bible goes on to tell us about the revelation of the coming judgment of God, which of course must needs come. And Word of God, it says in Romans chapter 2 and at verse 4, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? The patience of God, you see, the long suffering, the patience, the forbearance of God, despise. ways deceived by sinful men and women who suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in their wickedness and unrighteousness. In spite of the fact, you see, that the goodness and the kindness of God is displayed all around you in the world, in the universe in which you live. His goodness and kindness, you see, is stamped upon all His work, His creation, all the lovely and wonderful things that you enjoy that God has made. And of course, as a result of that, that too leaves you without any excuse at all. But you see, the goodness and the kindness of God, you see, are revealed or displayed, you see, in all His works, you see. And of course, to all, there's nobody escapes, you see, because you all enjoy the goodness of God. You take everything good that He gives you, every gift, every pleasure that you enjoy, you see, you take it in ingratitude, utter and complete ingratitude, and then you turn round and you deny His very existence. You curse Him to His face. You see, the kindness, the goodness of God is displayed around you in all His works and to every one of you. That's supposed to lead you to repentance. That's supposed to bring you back to God. You see, in the forbearance of God, He withholds the just penalty for your sins. You deserve, you see, each and every single one of you without exception because of your sin, you see, and because of your despising the patience and the forbearance of God. Well, He would be justified in just sweeping you into the damnation of hell. But you see, in His kindness, in His loving kindness, in His patience and forbearance, He holds back the penalty, you see, the judgment that you deserve. Long ago, some of you ought to have been, would have been completely justified in being swept out of the air and into a lost eternity. And you would have had no complaint, you see. But you despise, in spite of the forbearance and the patience of God, yet you despise His patience, you know. He restrains His wrath. You see, the Bible tells us in the previous chapter that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God's already being revealed against all such ungodliness. But you see, God holds back. And God restrains His wrath against you, He would be completely justified in breaking forth amongst you and upon you in divine wrath, sweeping you away into the damnation of hell. But He restrains, you see, He holds Himself back in patience, in kindness, you see. But still, in spite of this, still you despise His patience and His forbearance, His kindness, you see. His patience, you see, is extended towards you, see, day by day. You are, some of you, you're probably the same age or maybe even older than I am in all your life. You know, you spent wasting them in sin, in a neglect of God, in a neglect of His salvation. And yet still He allows you to breathe. Still He provides for you day by day. Still His goodness is extended to you, His patience and forbearance, and yet still you despise that patience and that forbearance of God. That in spite of the increasing number and the enormity of your sins, they are great, they are vast, and day by day, here you are, you're treasuring up wrath for the day of wrath, the day when God will finally and fully and consummately fall upon you in divine wrath. But here you are today. You have the breath of life in you yet. And yet still the gospel, you see, still the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, the means by which you could be saved, you see, in the way of repentance, because the goodness, the patience, the forbearance of God, you see, is meant to lead you to repentance. It's meant to bring you to heal. It's meant to bring you to that place, you see, of ceasing from your sin, of a change of mind, you see, a change of heart. You know, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, says God. That's what's meant by repentance. A change of mind and a change of actions. You turn from your sin, you forsake it, and you turn to God, to his Son, Jesus Christ, in order to obtain forgiveness and salvation. And that, in the patience and forbearance of God, you see, and that salvation is still offered to you. That salvation, you see, is still available to you in the patience, in the forbearance, in the kindness of God. But I ask you, has it led you to repentance? Has it brought you to heal? Has it brought you to that place of crying out to God to be merciful to you, a sinner, before his wrath falls upon you? Before it's too late, and before you're swept away in the judgment and the wrath of God. You see, the forbearance of God, you see, it appears in the majesty, you see, of the one whom you've sinned against. It's not like you've offended an inferior. It's not that you've offended someone, you know, who's a lesser mortal than you are. It's not that you've sinned against even your fellow creature. Oh, you do that. Oh, you do that. There's no doubt about it. Every day of your life, probably, you sin against your equals and your inferiors. But it's against the majesty of heaven. It's against the triune God. It's against your Maker. And it's against your Judge, the Judge of all the earth, the one before whom one day you will stand. And you won't say in that day, Oh God, I didn't know you existed. If I'd known, I would have repented. No, friends, it won't be like that. God will not send anyone to hell for not believing in the God they did not know existed. Oh, but he will send people to hell for not believing in the God that they did know exists. And you know just as well as I do that God exists. It's plain to you. He's shown it to you. It's in your face day after day. You cannot breathe. You cannot have a meaningful thought without God. Never mind. Do the wonderful things that you do, the science and technology and all that goes with it. So you see, friends, it's against God, you see. His forbearance, his kindness, his patience, you know, in bearing with you all these years, and yet you continue to sin against the majesty of heaven, the God who is your Maker, and the God who holds your very next breath in his hands, his to give and his to take away. In a nanosecond, he can remove you, the fittest, the youngest, the strongest of you, the oldest of you, in a nanosecond, remove you from this planet, from the face of this earth. And I assure you that death will rush you into the presence of a sin-hating and holy God, who for years, for decades, has borne with you, has shown you patience and kindness and goodness that you have despised every day of your existence and being. Friends, that goodness, that kindness, that forbearance of God is meant to lead you to repentance. Has it done that yet? You see, the forbearance of God appears. In this you see that He, God, sees every sin that you do. And he sees and he takes note of the effects of your sins upon yourself, upon your own being, and upon others who you affect with your sin. You know, family members, perhaps your children. You know how your children listen to you blaspheming and cursing and denying the very existence of God, teaching them the same ungodliness to your children and your grandchildren. The effect of your sin, you see, upon others, God sees it. He sees it all. Every single one, he takes note. It all goes down in his book. There's a day of accountability. We are all of us naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So you see, friends, God takes note. He takes note of your sins. They're all counted. And the penalty that's due for them, it's mounting up, you're treasuring up wrath for the day of God's wrath when it will fall upon you. But here you are today, you see. Yet God forbears with you. God exercises divine patience. Yet still the gospel is declared to you, is offered to you, salvation, forgiveness, pardon, cleansing of all that sin and all its effects on others. And yet still you continue to despise the forbearance and the patience of God. What do you think God will do to such a people as this, I ask you? You know, the forbearance of God, it appears in sins. You know, it's a detestable, it's an abominable thing. It's a light thing to this generation. You make jokes about it, don't you? You know? You laugh it on your television screens, you know? You indulge in it, you know, on the internet, by the internet, and all these, all your social media. You laugh and joke and scorn. You make light of sin. It's just, you know, it's a no thing to you, you know? Okay, I shouldn't have done it. Maybe things I ought not to have done, but you know, it's no big deal. We all do things wrong, you know? Isn't that the attitude? Friends, sin is an abomination to God. It's a detestable thing. It's contrary to the character of God, the holiness of God, the law of God, the Son of God. You consider for a moment, maybe, just maybe for once in your life, you who despise the patience and the forbearance of God, that God sent his Son into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh to die on a cross to deal with sin. And you think sin's a light matter. And the Son of God should have to be crucified, nailed to a cross, bleeding, dying, for sins, for the sins that you have committed, for the sins of the world, in order that you might have peace with God, that you might be forgiven, that you might go to heaven, that you might escape the wrath to come. There also is the divine patience and forbearance, is it not? Such goodness, such loving kindness that is proffered to you, and yet you utterly despise it and continue on in the abomination, in the detestableness of your sin and wickedness against God. For this he will bring you to judgment. And then, of course, if you were to consider the forbearance and patience of God in this, that he is able, he is quite able, able to punish your sin. And of course, he does so. He does so. Sin has its own recompense, you see. Oh, you think because, you know, you're still living and breathing that you've gotten away with it. Don't you see before your very eyes in your own nation today, in the world, in the society in which you live, God punishes sin with sin. He gives you over to more and more sin. He gives you over to futile thinking. He gives you over to a debased mind. Can't you see it in your own society? Young men calling themselves women, and young women calling themselves men. How stupid, how insane does your society have to become before you can see it? God giving you over more and more and more to sin. That's the punishment. That's the wrath of God. But at least He hasn't consumed you. At least He hasn't swept you into the damnation of hell yet. He's quite able to. He could do so in a moment if He so chose. But the kindness, the patience, the forbearance of God in this, that He continues with you. But that's supposed to lead you to repentance. That's supposed to bring you to heal. That's supposed to bring you to the cross and to cry out to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So, you see, friends, the patience, the forbearance of God, it's there before you. It's there to be seen if you would but open your eyes, if you would but consider these things. And of course, you know, the benefits that God affords you, He provides for all His creatures. You say, well, some people are starving in some countries. Well, that's because of the greed of others. But God has provided enough for all of His creatures. There's no need that any should starve at all. God provides day by day. He puts bread on your tables, clothes on your backs. It's not the state, it's not your nanny state that provides for you. Ultimately, it's God. And all the provision that God makes for you day by day, you've enjoyed it all of your life from your childhood until this night, this time. And not only do you indulge in all the goodness that God has provided for you, but you go to the other extreme, to that of gluttony. Was there ever such a generation as greedy as this one? Eh? Enough is never enough. It doesn't matter what it is. Whether it's clothes, whether it's furniture, whether it's technology, it matters not. Greed, 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 nothing. Enough is just never, never enough. Look at the... Well, you use the term obesity. The Bible doesn't use that word. The word it uses is gluttony. This is a gluttonous. This is an adulterous and a wicked generation. You've enjoyed the forbearance. You've enjoyed the patience of God for a long, long time. But it ought to have led you to repentance. It ought to have led you to the cross. It ought to have led you to the place of seeking God's forgiveness, His pardon and salvation. But God has also, in His patience, in His forbearance, in His kindness, God has also provided you with a salvation. He had no need to do so. He had no need to do so. Could have sent the entire human race, swept it off the board if He had so pleased. But it pleased Him to send His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh, to die on a cross, to rise again from the dead in order that, well, that you might be saved, that you might be led to repentance, you know, that you might be brought to your senses, and that you might be led to repentance and salvation. But it's God Himself who has provided the salvation for you. And what have you done with it? All your days you've despised the kindness and the patience of God, He says. And for that, what will God do to you in the end? If you do not turn, if you do not repent and believe the gospel. You see, the intention of the forbearance of God to show the riches of His kindness, to show His grace and mercy. It's only because of the grace of God you see that you're still walking and breathing and even hearing the gospel today. That's the grace, that's the kindness of God. The mercy of God, the loving kindness of God, in causing being a rebel, a sinner such as yourself, who has despised the kindness of God, to hear the gospel and to continue to hear the gospel. Oh, you would like not to hear it. You would like not to hear it. I know that. Oh, I get that. I get that. You howl and scream. You blaze in rage and anger. When the gospel is preached, when I come to you Tuesday by Tuesday, you rail against God. I hear it. I hear your words. I know you don't want to hear it. But I'm telling you anyway. In order that you might be led to repentance, because it's by the grace of God, the mercy, the kindness of God, that the salvation of God is presented to you, is still proclaimed amongst you. Oh, it wouldn't trouble you, it wouldn't bother you if all the churches in the country were shut down, if there wasn't a Bible to be found anywhere, if every preacher was locked up and shut up. Oh, it please you well, fine. Why? Because you despise the richness and the kindness and the goodness and the patience and forbearance of God. Shame on you, your wickedness, your evil, wicked ways. May God have mercy upon you in that day for your despising His patience and forbearance. But you see, the intention of God's forbearance is supposed to lead you to repentance, you see. That's the way back to God, you see. That's the first step, is repentance. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. You see, the intention of His patience and forbearance is to lead you to that repentance, you see. God Himself has provided the means, the way back to Himself, the gospel. But the way into the gospel is through, well, repentance and faith, as Jesus says, His first recorded words in the New Testament. Repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. And the only way that you can enter into the kingdom of God is by being born again and in the way of repentance and faith. And when Jesus says you must be born again, He's not talking about you having been baptized in some church as a baby. He's talking about an inward baptism. He's talking about God removing the heart of stone from inside of you, the heart that despises the patience and forbearance of God, removing that heart of stone and giving you a heart of flesh, circumcising your heart, you see. That's what it's called in the Bible. So God changes a man's nature, a woman's nature, you know. Changes that sin nature, that nature that despises the patience and kindness and forbearance of God. The heart that despises holiness, that despises wholesomeness, that despises everything about God and to do with God. You see, the intention of God's patience and forbearance, you see, is to lead you to repentance, you see, that you might make use of the means of grace, you see, that you might turn to His Word and take His Word seriously and seek Him with all your heart and soul and strength and mind, and come and walk in the way of repentance and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Because unless you believe, unless you repent, unless you believe, I tell you, or Jesus tells you, you shall all of you likewise perish. Just as others have done who have gone before you. Your father, your mother maybe. Maybe even some of your children. Brothers or sisters. Some who have gone before you. Rest in peace, you said to them. After they had gone, how could they have rested in peace? If they blasphemed God, if they despised the patience of God, how could they possibly, how could anyone rest in peace if they were enemies of the cross and despisers of the God repented and believed the gospel. But these things were despised by them and despised by you also, because the goodness, the kindness of God in providing you with the means of salvation is still despised by you also. And unless you repent of that, you see, the intention of God's patience and forbearance is to leave you without any excuse. Because you see, on that day when you stand before the Almighty, when you stand before the judge of all the earth, as you must, yeah, God will display before you all the kindness that He bestowed upon you. Every breath that you took, every meal that you enjoyed, every comfort and consolation that you experienced, all the goodness of His creation, goodness of family life, everything good that ever you enjoyed, it will leave you utterly speechless. Oh, I know, you rail and you prattle against God and against His salvation today. You mutter in your hearts, in your unbelief. But friends, on that day when you stand before the Almighty, you'll be speechless. You will not have any complaints. You will not have any words to speak at all. You will be utterly speechless. You'll just stand there wetting yourself in fear. And then God will cast you into the damnation of hell forever. If you continue on to the end of your course, despising the patience, the forbearance, and the kindness of God. It's supposed to lead you to repentance. And if it hasn't done that, then I call upon you today that it should do so even this day. My prayer for you is, and I do pray for you all, and I will continue to pray for you, that the gospel would smite your hearts, that the gospel would smite your consciences, that God would strike you down, that He would awaken your conscience and strike you down in the dust before Him, crying out to Him that He be merciful to you, a sinner. One who has despised the patience and the forbearance and the kindness of God. But you see, the despising of the forbearance of God, you see, infidels, unbelieving, ungodly sinners, you see, they speak profanely against God, you see. That shows, you see, that's the expression, you see, your profanities that you speak, you know, against God, that's the expression, that's the evidence, you see, of your despising the forbearance and patience of God, you see, when you speak contemptuously about the things of God, about God Himself, about His Son, and about the salvation that God has provided for you. When you speak contemptuously about His Word, the Bible, you see, you're expressing, you're making it known, you're showing, you're giving evidence that you despise the patience and forbearance of God. Oh, you see, where is this coming, you see? You say, well, you tell us that He's coming again. You say, well, where is this coming? One day carries on into a next. One year goes by, another one, and everything just continues on as if it did before. Where's this coming, you say? Despising the record of God's Word. Oh, He's coming. He's coming. He'll be coming for you. Take you out of this world. Who knows? Maybe even this very night. Eh? What if God was to require your soul tonight? What if you were to stand before a holy, righteous, sin-hating God even this very night, and you were found to have this day, as you heard the gospel, you despised it, and you expressed utter contempt against it? What do you think God would do with you? So you see, friends, the patience, the forbearance of God, it's intended. It's the richness of His kindness. You see, in bearing with you, in being patient with you, in order that you might be led to repentance, that you might come not only to repentance but to faith. You see, because repentance and faith, they go together. One leads to the other. But then, of course, in profanity, you see, the profane, they harden themselves against God. You see, justice is not executed swiftly, you know? Because you do things, you know? You do the heaven-bearing abominations. You fly in the face of God. You live with your fist in your maker's face. And you say, well, I got away with it, you know? Nothing's happened to me. I'm okay. And you think because justice has not been swiftly executed upon you, you think you've gotten away with it. So you set yourself to do even more wickedness. And you grow in wickedness. And you grow in hardness of heart. You become more cynical, more unbelieving, until you cross that invisible line and God says, no more. No more. No more will I plead with you. No more. No more will you hear the entreaties of my loving kindness. The gospel of my Son, Jesus Christ. The blood that was shed for sinners such as you. The masses, you see, in your nation and even in your world today are totally, totally indifferent to God's salvation. The majority of you, I guess, is poor, you know, that you don't even give it a thought. You just pass heedlessly on into the damnation of hell. What a shame, what a tragedy, when God has been so patient, so forbearing, expressing His loving kindness in His patience towards you. But you just heedlessly carry on, winding your way along the broad pathway, along with the masses. Oh, it's such a popular route. Jesus says so. Two ways, He says, the narrow gate and the narrow pathway, the wide gate and the broad pathway, the form of the first one, the narrow one, that leads to eternal life, says Jesus. But the broad pathway, the popular one, the multitudes travel down it. It's so easy, it's so pleasurable. But it leads to eternal destruction. It leads to the damnation of hell. And here you are coasting down this broad motorway along with the multitudes, along with the masses who are indifferent to the kindness and forbearance of God. And I tell you, the end of it is destruction. Not just of your body, not just physical death, but your soul. The second death, the Bible calls it, the lake of fire. The damnation of hell. Yes, even the sigh. Even the sigh expresses the contempt, despising the forbearance and kindness of God. How foolish, how utterly foolish. What wickedness, I ask you, to despise the goodness, the forbearance, and the patience of God. What base ingratitude, I ask you, is that against such boundless love as God has expressed for lost humanity? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The boundless and beneficial love of God for sinners, you see? To despise the forbearance and the the patience and kindness of God, you see, is also to despise the precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And to despise and to trample the blood of God's Son underfoot. And that's what you do every time you hear the gospel. And you reject it. And you despise it. You trample the blood of God's Son underfoot. How reckless, in spite of mercy. How utterly reckless, foolish and wicked to perish in your sin for all eternity. When you've been there for 1,000,000, 2,000,000 years, you'll still have eternity to go. It's never ending. The punishment, the torment, where the worm never dies and the flame is never quenched. I wonder this generation, you can't smell the sulfur, you can't feel the flames licking at your feet already. The damnation of hell's already encroaching upon you. And I tell you, I warn you to flee from the coming wrath. Before you go down to the pit, before you go out of this world, never to return again, down into the pit of hell, and there to suffer eternal torments forever and ever. That's the end. That's the final conclusion to despising the patience, the forbearance, the richness of the kindness of God in bearing with you this long. How long do you have? I have no idea. Maybe this is your last opportunity of hearing the gospel, the entreaties of His love. Maybe you'll get another week. Maybe in the patience and forbearance of God, He'll give you a few more years yet. But if you continue on to despise His patience and forbearance, I tell you, the end of it will be a lost eternity. A soul perishing in a lost eternity forever. Oh, I call upon you today to be not so reckless, but to turn. Well, you yet have the time, because you just do not know what a single day will bring forth. You've got today. Will you be given tomorrow, next week, another year? Will you even get home today? A solemn question. But friends, where will you spend eternity? If you despise the riches of the kindness, the patience and forbearance of God, you'll spend it in hell. And so I implore you on behalf of Jesus Christ to be reconciled to God while you can, to turn from your sin, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to forsake your ways and your unrighteous thinking, to change your mind, so the Bible means by repentance, to seek God diligently, for He's a rewarder of those who do so, to call upon His name, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe, says God, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Salvation, friends, in the kindness, in the love, in the richness and forbearance of God. Salvation, you see, is presented to you even here today. If you but repent and believe the gospel, the kingdom of God can be entered even this very day. First word of the gospel, repent. The second word, believe. Words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel, I say. Repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. Word of God is offered to you. You would like to have a copy. God's word, take home with you. Peruse it and see that these things are so. You would like to have a copy, you come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon you.